creation, he created both the heavens and the earth. And it says that that earth that he created was without a form, was with a void. It lacked a vision. And it said, as a result, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now that which was on earth lacked vision, but he who had created the heavens and the earth, he did not lack vision. He was waiting for his appointed time. He was waiting to speak his word into certain components that when spoken would be light. And it would reveal something out of the chaos that had never been seen before. 9.5 years ago, in the midst of our earth, we heard God speak. God turned the light on and said, come to Clear Lake. Come to Clear Lake and plant a church that you know today as Dominion Church. And as we look ahead, let's take a moment to look back. I'd like to begin this morning by asking previous board members that are here if they would come with their spouse and just come and just stand as best you can here on the stage. I realize that Jay literally gave his leg for the church, and if he'll come forward with his broken leg and foot, we'll just celebrate together. But I'd like to just ask our board members to come. They're not previously, or they've been previously on the board, but you've served in a capacity of leadership through this great history of the church. And as they're coming, they're representing different places and different seasons and stages in this church's history. I'd like to ask for all of those that started Dominion Church. 9.5 years ago, it was you in the back of the church meeting in a small 10-room classroom. Would you just come and would you stand before this great body of believers and would you turn and face them this morning? If you were part of the Dirty Dozen, the original 12, we'd like for you to come. We'd like for you to just stand. We'd like for you to just look out over this congregation. Wow. 9 years ago, we saw our beginning. And I'm glad we're not at our ending. I'm glad this is not our closing service. After 9.5 years of somewhat successful ministry, we've decided to shut the church down. I just want to say to each of you that are standing here, thank you for the chance. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for believing in a 33-year-old boy who had more dreams in his heart than we had resource in our hands. Y'all remember early on when we had to ask the second question? The first question is probably important to keep in mind, and we had to ask in the early days over and over again, what can we afford? And it was in our realization of what we could afford, we began to realize we could not come to Clear Lake because we could not afford Clear Lake, and we could not afford to come in our own strength and might, but that it would have to be the power of the Lord God Almighty. When we first called the Hilton Hotel 9 years ago, we asked them what we would be paying in rent, and I allowed that individual to finish talking, and I said, no, I'm just asking to lease some ballroom space. I'm not wanting to buy the ballroom space. And they were like, no, that's what it costs in this community. 9.5 years ago was the beginning. Here was the core group. Here was the ushers, the greeters, the risk managers. Here were the teachers. Here were the leaders. Here were the families that God said in the beginning, they will be your light and they will carry you and give you strength and they will give you encouragement and occasionally even a cup of coffee along the way. For those of you that are here this morning, would you just take a moment to salute them and celebrate their beginning? Thank you for your warmth. We're going to continue through this, and this is going to be a little bit like going to the circus or a carnival and playing the little mole game where you have like a little hammer and a mole jumps up and you try to hit it. Whack-a-mole. Okay. We're not going to whack you, but we are going to ask you to stand again. And we're going to just ask some key questions that to us we are celebrating because we remember the days of this church before you got here. And can I tell you, it was a much different place before you got here. And we celebrate you as we look out across this congregation we begin to believe in our dreams all over again, because God has always given us a dream that A, we had to ask the two questions, what can we afford to do? And B, what can we afford not to do? In those early days, we had to ask that second question. We realized we cannot afford not to go. Or I'm trying to ask the question right. We can't afford not to go to Clear Lake. We've got to go. And so we came by faith. We came by force. And God has developed this church into a wonderful group of believers who are about to step into the first property and building that they own. And isn't that exciting? I mean, that's pretty exciting. I'd like to ask the next question, because once we got started in the Hilton, I'm going to break this up into, did you start coming to Dominion at the Hilton? Or did you come in the season when we went back and forth from the Hilton to the Holiday Inn? So those of you that got baptized in the lake full of alligators, get ready to stand, because that's when we baptized in Clear Lake and began to realize this is not a clear lake and this is not a safe lake. Just after we baptized about 19 people on an Easter Sunday morning because Pastor had a great idea and we'd all get out there, and nobody told Pastor it'd be in the 40s and that half our church would have the flu by noon. But it sure seemed like a great idea at the time. But if you came during the Hilton years, would you stand and remain standing for just a moment? Now let's give them a hand. Now, if you'd be seated, please. We're going to ask the second question, because there were people that, what was crazy was we started growing again when we became the church you couldn't find. When we started going back and forth from the Hilton to the Holiday Inn, Pastor Dina would have to call me every Wednesday night and she'd say, "Now, baby, where are we again?" But how many of you came during the infamous, we were at the Holiday Inn, maybe, or at the Hilton Inn, maybe, season? And as you can see, we really grew during that period of time. Some of you are still wondering, am I in the right place? Okay, well, that's really blown up in my face, so let's keep going. Let's talk about, since we made the move across the lake, and we came to 401 Landing Boulevard. Hey, if you're sitting here and you didn't come till you got here, whatever the address is, would you please stand and help unconfuse me? You came here to the church at 2450 East Main Street. Hey, I got to tell you, that's a pretty good looking group of folks. Well, what are we going to see in our new 500-seat auditorium in our new building at 401 Landing Boulevard? Whose lives will come and whose lives will be changed as a result of you coming? I just want to weigh in and say about three or two things. So here we go. I think thing one that is the strength of this church is that it prays. We don't have some real secret to success, if what we're doing is successful. But we pray. And from that prayer, this church possesses a heart of humility and a heart that's willing to obey. And that's the second thing. If there's three or two things that I would tell you has been the strength of this church, is that we've learned to pray, we've learned to obey, and so I can kind of rhyme, our third strength is we've learned to stay. I thought how appropriate that Jeremy mentioned perseverance, because that was one of the keys that I was going to bring to your awareness today of this church's validity and stability, though it didn't have its own building, has been its ability to just stay and to stay after it and to stay after it and to stay after it until we got it right. And so this morning, as we stand at this precipice and we take a look back, we're going to show you a video that we feel like captures some of our 9 years together. And from that video, let's get a vision of what maybe the next 9 years together will look like. And so that you guys can see that video without falling down exhausted, I'll let you go back and sit down. I think I left out one group. I kind of was hoping they would just kind of come. But I would just like, in just a moment, when we pray over this morning's giving, I'm going to ask for our current leadership team, our current church advisory council, to come and to take this morning's offering and to stand before this body of believers and hold that offering to the heavens and ask God to bless our giving as we make the move from 2450 East Main to 401 Landing Boulevard. So before we take a look ahead, let's take a look back.
Hey, I'm Ty, and we're here with the Extreme Makeover team. And this week, we're going to take a look back at the 9-year history of this church, from the Hilton days to the Holiday Inn to where they're at right now, until 1 week from today that we're going to give them a new building. Check this out.
Looking back at the road so far, the journey's left its share of scars, mostly from leaving the narrow and straight. Back, it is clear to me that a man is more than the sum of his deeds, and how you make good of this mess I've made is a profound mystery. Looking back, you know you had to bring me through all that I was. So afraid of,
so afraid of,
though I questioned the sky, now I see why. Had to walk the rocks to see the mountain view. Looking back, I see the lead of love.
Until we open these doors. Wow. So, definitely going to be ready. taking a look back, and now we're looking forward.
We got 1 week to go till you finally get your home.
And guess what? See you next Sunday.
See ya. Bye.
Six, five.
Once I got his identity card, I labeled him a big loser. I played him like a drum. I played him like a fiddle. I played him like a puppet. He was one big Pinocchio. Weak, timid, insecure. I'm the one that wore the pants in that relationship. We broke up 3 years ago, and I'm still playing him.
Want to watch it again? I've got to be careful because I want to go ahead and just, I want to go ahead and preach. I want to go ahead and talk to you. Because today, more than preach, I want to teach. And I think to facilitate what God is doing, I'd like to go ahead and move that way. And so if our ushers can wait, we're going to conclude today with our offering. We're going to begin in God's Word this morning. Because of the energy in the room and the relational connectivity that we're feeling, it's saying the things that say to us what being a part of a church is all about. I'm going to break those things down into about 3 points. I'm going to begin from Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'd like for you to turn with us to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. Maps have been included to the new location. And next Sunday morning, our hope is to move in or begin the moving in process into 401 Landing Boulevard. We're not shooting to have that building completely ready. In fact, we've not begun all of the renovations on the outside. But how many of you believe it's just like moving into your new home, that it takes a little while to get all the curtains up, takes a little while to break in the house? But before we wear in the new, I want to wear out the old. Can we do that this morning? I want to talk to you very simply from my heart, from Psalms 34 and verse 18. Before I get to verse 18, though, let me establish for you an understanding through the reading of God's Word of what leads up to that, that makes verse 18 so special to me and so powerful for us. I'd like to entitle this morning's teaching, just simply, the Lord is. Psalms 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. And it begins in Psalms 34 by saying, this shepherd, this Lord, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. How many of you know that's not very easy? That if He would have just given us permission to take out the word all, it would have been a lot easier to be obedient. Wouldn't it be easier to just say, I will bless the Lord at times. His praise shall be in my mouth. That would make the Christian life so much easier. And yet He asks for more of us. He says in this writing, it's a psalm of David who has changed his behavior. And he's refused to allow his conditions around him, his circumstances and his situations. He's refused to allow those things to alter his praise. That's one of the three things that describes what being a pastor and being pastors of this great church is about here at Dominion. We want to worship and praise the Lord. And He is teaching us to do that continually and at all times. So as we read this and we put this thought behind it, we say this And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. At this church, as I tell you the three things I'm about to tell you, it's important for you to understand the need to hear this, because when you hear this, you recognize what we value. Building a church is not just vision on paper. It's values that we adopt as a family. And as we adopt these values and live out these values, we see the revelation of who God is in our life. It's not until you learn to praise God at all times, it's not until you learn to praise Him continually, that you see the picture of Him that releases you from all of your restrictions. You see, God is never limited by our problem, but we are. And sometimes we lack the ability to see enough of Him in what we're going through to praise Him at all times. Do you hear me? God is never limited. God is never limited by our circumstances, our situations, our feelings, and our fears. He's never intimidated by the obstacles and the challenges in our life. And He's asking for us to praise Him at all times, because He knows that as we depend on Him, as we trust Him, then the strength of Him gives us the ability to praise Him at all times. The Bible tells you very clearly that His praise is always in your mouth. It's that you and I have to determine and decide, what will we do with the praise He's put there? Sometimes we choose to take what He's put there and use that to talk about our problems and our obstacles. And then there's sometimes we take that and we say, Lord, I will praise You even if it's by sacrifice and by faith in this time. One of the things that this church values above all things is the ability to go for it in worship and praise. We value allowing you opportunity to be free. I am free to sing. And that's a scary thing when you hear how I sing. But I am free to sing. I am free to dance. But most of all, I am free to live for You. Lord, there's many things in my life that could have destroyed my life. But because of Your ability and because of the fact that You are, that ability for You to be that which was and is and is to come gives me the ability to be free to live and not die. We value praise. We value worship. And we value a praise and worship that is intense. Oh, the number of times that I ate the carpet fibers of the Hilton Hotel. Because there's not anything like a Holy Ghost party. Because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Oh, the times in my life when in the midst of my problems, I said to my problems, by faith, I will not let You determine what comes from my mouth. But instead, I will set a guard and I will praise You, God. The number of times that we met in that ballroom, and I thought, well, we've paid for the ballroom another day. We may not have money for tomorrow, but we're still in the ballroom today. The number of times I would have to look past things. The number of times people had to look past obstacles and challenges. Whether it was the dance floor they didn't have time to take up the night before, or the buffet that was still strewn on the ballroom. I watched people literally find the ability to take their eyes off their problems and begin to praise the Lord. And in the midst of where they were, I watched as a group of people were able to say, God, it doesn't matter what is around me. All that I recognize and all that I realize at the end of the today that matters is who is in me. And everything in me will now choose to take every breath I have and use it this day to praise you. And I will praise you in my coming. And I will praise you in my going. I will praise you if I'm in the pits of despair and the pits of hell. Nothing will keep me from my appointment of praise. It's not because of who I am. It's not because of where I am. But I praise you, God, because of who you are. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my shelter. The Lord is my strong tower. And in the midst of the thing I do not think I can survive, I will run to you and I will become righteous and I will find that you and you alone is God. And the times that we would literally be on carpets crying out to God to move is one of the things that we value here at this church. We value it because we realize without his piece of the puzzle, there will always be a void, there will always be a blank, there will always be something missing in our lives. And the something missing sometimes we look for it in all the wrong places. We think that it's something on the outside, and yet God is saying, I am that something you're looking for. And what you're looking for is something on the inside that only I can touch. In fact, that something missing on the inside of you has a shape to it. And in that place, the only thing that will fit in anything else but that shape will leave you missing. And the shape of that thing inside of you is the shape of an old, rugged cross. See, we value worship and praise because it's in the worshiping and the praising of God that we begin to recognize that we're not just here to have a church. We're here to be a church. And we begin to realize at another level, we're not just here to sit in church. We're here to sit in his presence. And as we keep growing that, we begin to realize what makes this church so unique is that we've not just come to sit in his presence, but we've come to be saved by that presence, delivered by that presence, healed by that presence. And that we've not come for an audience just with each other, but we've come to sit in the audience of God. We've come to say, God, as long as you are the one thing in our audience, then that's what matters in this church. I'm here today to tell you this church, it values the presence of God. And there's nothing like praise and there's nothing like worship that brings you to the altar of God's presence. That's what this church is about. Yeah, we do fun videos. Yeah, we do funny productions. Yes, we have fun, but it's not about us. It's about Him. That's that second thing that I'm saying. If I could just hew it down into one small something, I would say that we value, number one, praise and worship. And number two, it's because we value Him. It's not that we value praise and worship over Him. It's that many times the vehicle of seeing Him comes as a result of what we do and what we experience and what we ourselves interact with during praise and worship that brings the realization of His presence. It's in that presence that the Bible says that when you get in it, there is a fullness of joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me, and I know about my household. Don't know about yours, but if you'd like me to come over, I'm there, especially if you're serving food. Now, you might need to pastor-proof your house and hide your inquirers and your stars and some of the movies that you watch, some of the books you read, and some of the gossip you pass on. You might want to hide that. But I know in our house, things don't work as well when things are empty. Car doesn't work as well when it's empty. The house doesn't have a fullness of joy when the kids and the wife aren't there and it's just me and the cats of Satan. It's just empty. It doesn't have that same feel to it. There's a void. Now let me go one more step here, because it really lacks that fullness at another level when we haven't eaten in a while. We are not the same people around our house when we haven't eaten in a while. And a while for some is hours. Ours is moments. At the Thurstonson household, we are grazers. How many grazers in the house? I mean, you really never stop alongside the road to eat for very long because you're always moving and you're always grazing. I tell you, there's a vast majority of grazers here today. Would you just hold your hands up real high if you're a grazer? Yeah. In fact, in the new building, I thought it would be cool if we just kind of had grazing stations throughout the building. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Little crispy cream grazing area. Mm-hmm. How about this? A little area for peanut butter, butter, and strawberry preserve sandwiches with a glass of cold milk and some Lay's potato chips area. How many of you are talking my language now? That's some serious grazing. Now see, I can't talk about God's presence. That's the second thing I'm talking about. My sermon title is "The Lord Is." But that I stop and talk about His presence because we really value His presence. And it's important for you to recognize before we look ahead, it's important what we look back to and we call our heritage, we call our roots, we call what works for us because we put such a significance on His presence that He can take over any time He wants to. And that we'll even allow people to rattle a little bit and wonder a little bit and put up with people who come and say, I've been to church 427 years now. I ain't never seen that before. I think it's scary when people get to church and it's so predictable they know the order better than the pastor does. I think predictability has been what's been killing the church. Now, I'm not talking about all of us getting so free we're fruity and flaky. Point at about three of them and say, amen. I'm just joking. Some of you are like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. But I am talking about a dimension of allowing His presence to be free enough to convict us and to cleanse us. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not afraid because I so value His presence to stand in this pulpit and say, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Like when I look at the young people and tell them, look, you know what? You were created in the image of God. And God said that His image would wait until marriage to have relationship with your spouse. I'm not afraid to do that. I'm not afraid to say anything even close to that is sin. You're not to be grazing on each other's bodies. See, I'm not afraid to do that. Because I just need you to understand this point. I really value God's presence. And we must understand that one of the ways that this becomes a house of His presence is that we allow Him to purify us through the convicting word of the Lord. And I think that's what's missing in so many churches in the 21st century is that people, men and women of God, are afraid to stand up and tell the people of God what they need to hear. They're taking a poll. What do you want to hear? You want to get rich? Three steps to getting rich. Three steps to being an overcomer without experiencing any pain. And that's just not right. That's just not life. But I watch people throw their money after those circus events, and I just think that's wrong. But I just want you to know I value God's presence. And do you understand that to this pastor and his wife, who in her own right is a pastor here, we value the cost He put on your soul. And the cost that He put on your soul was His only begotten Son's blood. I'm telling you, your soul cost Him everything. And it may cost me some popularity. It may cost me being looked at as a radical. It may mean that some look at me and say, how dare you? It may mean that some look at me and say, wow, I can't believe you would say that in church. I can't believe you would talk about voting and how we should vote. Really? I didn't tell you how to vote. I just told you if you want to make heaven. And if, you know, I didn't go there. I didn't go there. But I did tell the youth who can't vote how to vote. But that was between us. But see, God's word, I want you to see that God's word, young people, is more than us just jumping and dancing and acting silly and crazy in your eyes. Because I hang out with the young people and I hear how they see us. And sometimes I think some of us need to realize we might change how we praise and worship when we hear what they see. We sometimes get selfish and it becomes all about us. And we forget that if it doesn't lift Him up, then it's all about us. and that maybe we need to maybe not dance like that, or maybe we don't need to come down here to the altar like that, because they're seeing more of our leg than they're seeing the Lord. That's just not right. And I think somebody needs to stand up in the church and say that. And so what you understand at this church is, I will. I just will. It's just not right when you're praising God and people are seeing more of you than they are of Him. Something's just not right. When we dance around and the next generation is like, wow, this is why I will never want to come back to church again. Because they're full of fruits and flakes. It's that you and I, our hearts are so pure and right with God because of how we live our lives. During the week that we come, that there is such a dynamic of God's presence, that the conviction of God is so freed in their lives that they want to be right with God because their eyes are more on Him and not on us. Because we're living what we're reading. See, I'm free to sing. I am. I'm free to dance. And my children and my wife will tell me I dance at home. They'll tell you I dance at home all the time. And it's a very frightening picture. The Sci-Fi Network wouldn't even put it on their channel. But see, I'm free to live. I'm free to live for God. I'm free not just to speak in tongues, but to control my tongue. I am. I'm free to be slain in the Spirit, but I'm also free to get up off that floor and walk in the Spirit. I'm free to be fruity, but I'm not. I'm dedicating my life to become fruitful. And sometimes to do that, it means, and again, I'm not doing this today, but you've seen me at times look at the young people and say, hey, we're going to have a talk. Look, it's one thing to graze on food, but it's another to graze on each other. The Bible says to flee the very appearance of sin. And the way some of you are dressing, you're not fleeing the appearance of sin. You are the billboard advertising sin. And girls, I just don't even care what the culture is. God's never asked the culture for permission. Is it okay to ask holiness of you, or is that going to mess that outfit up? Or is it going to mess up that dating relationship? Oh, I know about missions work. I've been doing it since 2,000 years ago at the cross. I've been doing missions work all my life. But He's not going to ask your permission to date the wrong girl, the wrong guy. He's going to convict you of that. Yeah. So, you know, every once in a while I'm going to look at the youth and I'm going to say, you know what? Stay pure. Stay pure. Stay right. The most powerful organ you have to control your sexual activity is right here. Now, here's some speech therapy. Just say no. Okay, here we go. Just say no. Now, pretend like you're out on a date, and this guy will make your day and make you popular, and he reaches over, and he's got that grazed look in his eye. Grazed and crazed. Have you been there? No, you haven't. But have you known people that have been there? Okay, grazed and crazed. And he's got that look, and you're like, wow, this is from the Sci-Fi Network. What do you say in that moment? No. Now, at the new location, what we're going to do is, if Christy would come, and if you'd give me this, and Pastor Clint, if you just give me your Bible, we're going to just give to every one of our young people a couple, three Bibles, and we're just going to just duct tape them onto you so that literally the wrong things have to crawl over the Word of God to get to you. How many of you think that might be something worth investing in? Our lives have to simply be a living expression of the Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is my conviction. The Lord is my standard. The Lord is my Savior. The Lord is my attitude. Hey, don't tell me you're going to do anything for the Lord and come up here and do all this for the Lord, but then go home and not do nothing for mom and dad. They're the ones that brought you into this world, and they're the ones that can take you out. Have you noticed this about the Lord, that before He ever takes you public in your ministry, He teaches you how to walk faithfully to Him privately? Now, I know that some of you are like thinking, now how did God say all of this in just this little? See, it says it in verse 2. It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I'm going to go back, pick this up, and we're out. First of all, we have to recognize that many times it's through praise and worship that we come together as a family. And as we come together as a family, we come together not around what could divide us, but we come together around the thing that unifies us. And the thing that unifies us is worship and praise of Him. It's there that we put aside our differences. It's there that we put aside our struggles. It's there that we put aside our obstacles. And it's there in the altars as we begin to praise and worship the Lord. And that's the altar of our heart, that we begin to lay our lives on the altar and He begins to lay His grace upon our lives. And suddenly He begins to save us. Suddenly He begins to help us. Suddenly He begins to deliver us. Suddenly we're not seeing where each other misses it, and we start seeing Him. And we start seeing Him for who He is. And when we see Him for who He is, we begin to recognize that we are here not to be served, but we are here to serve. We are not in this world to become like this world. We are in this world to be set apart. We begin to realize that we're in the end times. And if ever in a world of darkness and chaos and crisis, someone needed a light and someone needed to be the light, it is now. And you begin to realize in the fullness of His presence that He can be the light through your life, and that you can be the nightlight that will get people home. You'll get them up and you'll make them what He made you. And you'll realize in that moment of His presence, you are more than sin. You are more than sickness. You are more than shortcoming. You are more than fear. You are more than failure. You are a conqueror. You are an overcomer. And that you haven't come this far to stay down, but that this is your hour to stand up, cast your voice to a lost and dying world, and say, Jesus saves. It's His presence that every Sunday we pursue. It's about His presence. It's about our souls saying, God, what is in my soul is so small in comparison to what is in Your heart. And Lord, I just want to give it all to You. I just want to be in Your presence. I don't want to be outside Your presence, because outside Your presence makes me deal with that thing in my heart, that void, that missing element. Which brings me to the third thing. Relationships. It's the third thing. I want you to pinch someone next to you. I just want you to pinch them. Now, some of you really enjoyed that enough to do that again. Let's do that again. Doesn't that feel good? It says in Psalms 34 and 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. You want to find someone brokenhearted? You want to see someone crushed in spirit? Look over at those around you. Look around at those that the Lord is close to. I want you to look around. I want you to see what God is close to. He's close to us. He's close to each other. As we went through that video and we looked back to certain memories, did you notice when you saw your face, if you saw your face, how suddenly you're like, I thought Clint was just going to take off like a bottle rocket. He saw himself up there. He's like, I said, man. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Because in reality, it's about going together. It's about being a church that's a family. It's about being relationally connected to each other as He is relationally connected to us. This thing I know, the person next to you needs the same mercy and the same grace as the person inside of you. I know that. I know that you need grace, because I know that I need grace. That I am weak at times. And I need something or someone to be strong. As we went through that video footage, I couldn't help but rewind and remember certain moments in the church's history. And how in certain moments in the church's history, I would wonder, now, how are we going to get beyond this challenge? And it wouldn't be too much longer that God would bring someone through the back doors of the church who coincidentally knew just how to lead young people. Just how to lead a staff. Just how to take communion. Just how to serve. Just how to do. It's about relationship. It's about God making in your life, in the areas that are weak, the awareness of how He is strong. And many, many times, His strength comes through those around you, the very people who need grace from you. And this is where I want you to recognize what is so important to this pastor's heart. What is so important to this pastor's heart is the family. Relationships. Now I got a little more personal because I talked about family. Want to get in a fight? Put your family in a car for about 21 hours. Park it over on I-10. You'll find out what kind of family you have. Am I right? Yeah. Clint Eastwood movie, huh? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, you know, in life, I want to use the same metaphor. I want to make the same application. You and I are in an ark of sorts. Not a car, but an ark. Some of us came in 2x2, some of us came in 2x4, but we all came in. Wish I hadn't said that. But we all came in. And just like in the ark, God didn't expect the zebras to look like the rhinoceroses, or the rhinoceroses to look like the doves, or the doves to look like the alligators, or the alligators to look like the dogs, or the dogs to look like the giraffes. We see in that picture that God valued each of those animals just as they were. And for the animals in this room today, God values you just as you are. And that we don't all have to be alike. And that's the beauty of God. Only God can bring people together that are dysfunctional, disorderly, and disobedient, and make a force of one out of them. Make an army out of them. Make a church out of them. Bring revival to a city. Cross rivers and take cities. Only God can do that. And the only way God can do that is if you're here in the ark saying, "Here, Lord, send me. Here am I. Send me." So today we are going to take our offering. Our ushers are coming. You realize I value at least three things. I value, first of all, does anybody remember? Praise and worship. And I value it because it's the vehicle that leads us many times into the awareness of, number two, His presence. Which then brings us all together and makes us into, number three, a family. If you'd like to give this morning, we'd just like to ask you to raise your hands. Because this is an opportunity as we look ahead to look back and capture the values that have brought us this far. Now, there may be those that are listening to me this morning that you're not a part of a church family, or you're not even a part of God's family, and this moment is just for you. In fact, God has brought you here this morning not only to become a part of a family, but to become a part of His family. It's only at church that God can do the miraculous, because many times it's our families that have brought us to our greatest of pain. Many of us grew up without real present fathers, and yet it's only in church that God can do the impossible and give us back spiritual fathers. It's in church where God makes our weak areas strong, and He gives back to us what the enemy has taken from us. And that's why the enemy works so hard to keep churches in places and keep them just being satisfied with having a church instead of becoming a family. And friend, this morning, this pastor's heart is about the presence of God, the worship of His presence, and a place of grace so that we can become a part of His family. So before we put any money in the offering this morning, I'd like to ask every person in this family to just bow your heads. I'd like for you to just close your eyes. And I'd like for you to have an opportunity to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. This is an opportunity where you can raise your hand and raise your voice and literally ask Him to become your Savior. You may have never come to church before, or if so, you may have never given your heart to the Lord before. And you know the Lord as a lot of things, but you've never known and been able to say, "The Lord is my Savior." So with heads bowed and eyes closed, this is your chance to make the Lord your Savior. You're here this morning and your heart's not right with God, and you just know that you've never given your heart to God. In just three counts, you're going to have an opportunity. I'm going to count three, and I begin now by saying, number one, are you here today and you're that person that your heart has never been given to God, or your heart is not right with God? Are you that person? Is this monumental day when we leave one place and go to a new one reserved just for you? Two, are you going to take these next 2 minutes to change forever how you see those things behind you and how you live out those things before you? I've counted one. I've counted two. You're getting your hand ready because I'm about to say three. And when I say three, you're going to slip your hand up. And with that hand, you're going to say, I want to invite the Lord into my heart as my Savior. And I want to become a part of His family. I need His grace. Quite possibly, you have given your heart to the Lord before, but it's been some time since you've lived out that relationship. And you're going to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to come back to the family of God. I want to get my heart right. You too, get your hand ready. I've counted one. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this is just between you and me and God. I count now two, and now three. Quickly put your hand up. Yes, ma'am. Put your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, 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 yes. I see hands going all up and down. Yes, sir. Yes, I see your hand. Number of youth, number of adults have raised their hands and said, I want to make the Lord Jesus my Savior. Because, friend, that is what this is about leading people to the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there's still time. If you'd like to raise your hand, you can put it up and put it right back down. And with that raised hand, you can make things right in your heart with God and find that missing piece. Quickly now, put your hand up and put it right back down. We're going to join you because we're a part of the same family you're about to enter into. And we're going to pray the prayer that each of us have learned to pray each day, because we need His grace each and every morning for each and every new day. Dear Heavenly Father, it's me. I ask You this morning to come into my life, to come into my heart. I admit to You my sin. Forgive me. Save me. And deliver me from an eternity in hell. By my words and by my faith, I ask You now to become my Savior. I believe with faith that Your blood is enough for me. And as a result of my faith in Your work, I now have You in my heart, and I have been saved for an eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. For approximately 10 plus people who raised their hands this morning, I'd like for us just to celebrate this moment. I'd like for you to celebrate this moment. I mean, 10 people that we know of, at least 10 people raised their hands and said, you know what? This is for me. I need a family. But more than just a family, I need a future, and only God's grace can give that to me. And I have made Him my Lord and Savior today. That's what coming to church is all about. Do you remember the day that you came to church and you gave your heart to God? Some of you are still looking for a heart. But for those of you that remember that, raise your hand and say amen. You remember that day, and it was an awesome day. Today we're going to ask our ushers now to begin to serve. Have you had time to get your envelopes and get your giving ready? Then I'd like to ask the ushers to begin to receive that offering. And I'd like to ask our board, our current leaders that are serving to make the many decisions that it's taken to move us from one location to the next, to come and stand with their pastor this morning. And in just a moment, we're going to hold our offerings to the heavens. We're going to ask God to just continue to be a part of what He is doing here in our lives. As we're receiving our offering, I just want to make sure that this morning, if you've made a commitment to the Lord and you've asked Him into your heart, that you stop at this back table and you introduce yourself personally to myself and to my wife and tell me and tell us what it was that this service meant for you so that we can begin to integrate you very quickly into this family, because there's a place for each of us. One of the things that you've probably seen very quickly this morning is humor. We value humor because we think being in families should be a lot of fun. And we practice in our own life a lot of fun on a regular basis. And we think the most fun place in the world should be the house of the Lord, because He is our joy. The joy of the Lord is in our hearts, and it should be fun. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed what's been voted the most powerful video presentation for the last 3 years, entitled Bubba C, Identity Theft. How many of you enjoyed that? Yeah. You see, it's okay for me to look at those things and laugh. Sometimes I'll watch people and they'll be looking at me like, oh, is Pastor getting freaked out? Well, I pretty much stay that way so I don't have to get that way. But see, I think coming to church should be joyful. And I look back on the 9 years, and before we look ahead, I look back and I say, it's been a joy. I consider it now joy. And would you, as leaders, just raise your hands and raise our offering to the heavens this morning? And would we once again, as a church family, and as a family, just pray with them. Heavenly Father, we lift our future to You. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We value Your presence. We value praise and worship, and we value getting to be a part of Your family. Take what we can do, and take that which is limited, and You open the heavens, and You create for us a house of presence. We speak blessing over this moment and over the hour that we're about to step into. We pray this in the name that's above all names. His name is Jesus. Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as you stand to your feet, I just tell you, we'll see you on the other side. Now, Wednesday night, we need your help, because we'll be helping to pack this building up. We're going to have a special time of some testimonies and a short devotion, and then we're going to need some help packing up the sanctuary and packing up our memories here. And we really need you to come to Bible study Wednesday night. We won't keep you after 8:30, unless, of course, you want to stay. But we have a lot of work to do this week. As you see in the worship guide, we've got a week of planning that's been purposed and put in place so that we can make the move from 2450 to 401. One last time before we leave, let's wear this building out.
Hallelujah.
Wednesday night, let's wear it out in Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, Amen. Be sure and stop at the back table. Bubba C and his ex-girlfriend will be back there, and you'll get to meet them. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.